Are you looking for ways to create deep bonds within your community? Would you like to have a unique capstone experience that will provide lifelong memories? Have you ever thought of traveling with your community? Today, we have a special guest to talk all about planning, executing, and enjoying travel with your community. You will hear about all the benefits that can come from this experience. We cannot wait to share this with you.
Hello, and thanks for joining She Leads by Faith podcast. We are the homeschool community builders. I'm Pam Kafer, along with Molly Kitzmiller and Hannah Larson, and we are here helping homeschool leaders grow lasting community built on Christ, connection, and strong leadership.
Are you or your kids feeling isolated and discouraged, even though you're in a homeschool group or co-op? Or are you homeschooling by yourself and desire a like-minded Christian community? Is the Holy Spirit prompting you to build an authentic community for your family? There are families waiting for you to answer the call. We know that the thought of starting your own group that truly meets your needs can be overwhelming. You are not alone. We are here to come alongside you.
We are three homeschool moms and co-op leaders with over 30 years of experience between us, leading thriving homeschool groups. We have answered the call to obediently step out in faith and trust God's plan. We have learned many lessons along the way, and we want to help you have a smooth journey so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. If you're ready for lasting community built on Christ, connection, and servant leadership, this podcast is for you. Pop in your earbuds, keep your notebook handy, and be encouraged. You can do this. We are here for you.
Hey friends, it's Pam here. Welcome back to part two of planning our high school trip with Jennifer Hopwood. If you happen to miss the first episode, go back to episode 14 and listen to that, and then jump back on over here and we'll finish it out. Let's ask some more questions.
What's been your success rate in being able to rent like 12 passenger vans to transport people?
Okay, 12 passenger vans, been awesome. Costco is our best friend. You can look at all the companies and compare them, and every single time Costco wins. Just so you know, I think it's a very important safety tip, Pam will tell you. Most people's credit cards or car insurance covers car rentals. They do not cover 12 passenger vans. So you do have to pull out the car insurance from Costco or the rental company for those 12 passenger or 15 passenger vans.
Good to know.
It's a good to know. Key fact.
Yeah. It's tricky backing FYI. Those things up, especially if you're by yourself. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I didn't ever like hit a pole or anything and shatter the back of the window on our very last day of our Boston trip. No. That never happened. But like we said, we make lots of memories.
Lifelong memories.
I'll probably be driving in Florida too. They'll still let me, because they don't want to be the one to back into something. And I've already done it. So
I'm what I got to lose. For van drivers.
All right. So what about food? Like when you're in a hotel, how do you do your food?
Well, so the Hopwoods are pretty cheap people. And so we try to travel on the pretty cheap. So what we did, and I encouraged the group to do, but I do believe we were the only ones that did it. So when we did our East Coast trips and we stayed in the hotel, my big plan was we would have oatmeal in the room, you know, little oatmeal packets that you can add hot water to, because the hotels we were staying at didn't have breakfast. So we were on our own for breakfast. So my thought was we would just make a quick breakfast in your room, and then really, kid you not, have either a container or plastic bags and pack a lunch, peanut butter and jelly and chips, like just pre-made. And then you could be off and running for the day and then eat out once a day on the trip, which sounds really great on paper. However, as soon as you get there, families are like, ooh, look, there's bagels that I've never had, or there's this that I want to try. And so the cost of their trip, even though it was this much on paper, by the time they came home, they're like, that was an expensive trip. I'm like, it sure was for you.
Yeah, when you have to pay for your food out all the time, that's a lot.
Yes, it's a lot.
But yeah. If you're going to the East Coast, you got to eat that food. You got lobster bisque and lobster sandwiches and scallops. We don't have that here in Colorado. No, you got to eat it. And then the bagels from New York and the pizza from New York. There's just certain things. Cannolis.
And the Philadelphia cheesesteaks.
The Philadelphia cheesesteaks. They're like $5 and they're like foot long. And you're like, you couldn't get that here in Colorado. So that was one of my favorite things on the East Coast trip was the food. Yeah.
So yep. Do you recommend a food budget for people, or if you are not responsible for their meals, if they're going to be eating out, that's just on them. That's not in the cost of the trip at all, right?
Correct. And okay. I will say, you know, I will lay it out for them because I try to really set families up. When you're planning a trip, it's a lot of hand-holding families through it. And so I try to set them up like, you're going to spend probably this much on food. You're not going to pay your organization to do that. That's coming out of your pocket at each stop, so that everything is upfront and in mm-hmm. fully in the know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then what about the food when you're staying at a Airbnb?
Yep. So when you're staying at we've stayed at like a huge house before, then what we've done is I've created a meal plan. It's a little bit more work on the planner. So I have created a meal plan, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the 7 days that we're there. Usually we go for a week. There's been times where like we'll fly out on a Friday and fly home on a Sunday. That adds cost to the trip. And because costs and everything right now are going up, we're just going like Saturday to Saturday. So for that 1 week. In that 1 week, I'll plan all the breakfast, all the lunch, all the dinner. You're going to want it. People are going to want to eat out. And so you're going to plan one or two nights or lunches for them to do that. And it'll be free time and they can go wherever they want to go, explore and eat whatever they want to do. But before that, one thing that I learned doing this is if you're the trip planner or the person who's in charge of the food, I think it is going to be amazing if they go out 24 hours before the group. They're going to stay. They're going to acquire all the food from Costco because there's going to be huge grocery lists. I don't think it's possible to take 30 people through Costco and get your food. That doesn't sound fun for any one person ever to do. And so to have your designated food shoppers that are willing to go out early and to do that, then when the masses come, when the group comes, then the food is already there. That's key.
They could even go out a half a day ahead of time, honestly, right? Like,
you know, you've got rental cars, you've got finding new cities, you've got driving around, finding the stores. I would do it the day before. But mm-hmm. So when it's one thing that I actually learned planning a trip. And then when I've been the project leader for Adventure and Missions, they do it so, so well. The project leaders actually go out 2 days before the group and they do all the grocery shopping and they swing by all the different places they're serving that week. They're touching base with, hey, we're still on, you've got me. Cause you don't want to show up and they'll be like, who are you again?
Right.
And so that touch base with everything you're going to do, check out the place you're staying. What I really loved, one thing that Adventures and Missions did that I want to add into our trip is like a little something on everybody's pillow. And whether mm-hmm. that be a notebook or a pencil or just a, we're glad you're here, your little name or a something. And that just, because you're just trying to love on the people and love on the students going and make it as memorable as you can.
Yeah.
So if you have that, you're serving your community in mind, it's really super fun.
How do you plan the activity?
Mm-hmm. How do I decide to do the activities? Good question. I really like to think through a high schooler's eyes on the activities. So you can't do anything for really long. They're going to get bored and be all done. and you got to keep it kind of active. Oh, but you don't want anybody to get hurt, or your ones that aren't active or anything, you know, you don't want them to be left out. So you got to kind of have the variety in there, and you have to be able to have a little bit of downtime for some people. Sometimes I have, you know, an idea of over planning activities. So if you, like, let's just say when we went and did our big city trip, if you look at like how long it takes from point A to point B, and it's 1 mile and it's 15 minutes, you're going to double that, right? Because that's going to be 30 minutes to get your group there. And so we had kind of made that mistake of, you know, 15 minutes. And then people are like, oh, but that's not how fast I walk. I walk this fast. So that was kind of fun, because you're going to mosey with your friends. You're going to talk with your friends. You're going to sightsee as you're getting from point A to point B. You're not like on a mission to get from point A to point B. So you just
unless you're me and you.
Right. But most people are not.
It really is a little bit like herding cats.
Yes.
And you have to account for people getting on the wrong subway and things like that.
Because it's just stuff we don't do in our everyday lives. So yeah. Every single mm-hmm. thing is an adventure. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite memories was trying to get to the subway with our suitcases. And every person had to buy a ticket and put it in. And then it was one of the little push wheel things that went around, and bags were getting stuck in there. So people were crawling over and crawling under, and suitcases up and down. And I just took a step back and filmed it for a minute, because it was the funniest thing. One of my favorite memories there. You just don't know when those memories are going to pop up.
Right.
And they're going to be created. And who knew it was just getting on a subway.
Right. Because we don't have subways in Colorado. subways. That's a great experience.
Yes.
You budget your time by planning more than what you think you're going to have. And then what about like museums or sites that you go to see, or how much walking you do, those kinds of things?
Yep. And so if you're going to do a museum, you're going to for sure just do one museum, and then you're going to bookend it with fun things and probably a lot of food too, because that's going to make their memory be, oh, that was fun because I'm not hungry and I'm not bored. And so you're always going to have one or two students that are enthralled with the museum, right? And they want to stay longer. And so you have to allow that too, because it's not like they can just go back, because you're in a different state. And so sometimes you have to let them be there and go and do something, hang out at a park, throw a football, a basketball, a baseball with the boys. Like they've got to just find an open space to do that. And so if it's going to be a museum, I'm going to be there no longer than an hour and a half. Because for the majority of the kids, they're not going to be there any longer, even if it is the Met. I mean, it's like they're in and out.
Just can't. Okay, good to
know. And you have to kind of let them know the expectation of that too, because they'll try and see everything in that place in an hour and a half, and you just really, you can't do it. So it's better to just focus on one part and then really get to experience that. Otherwise, you're just going to feel rushed and it'll be a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah, yep. You get that overwhelm.
Yep. And the activities come just almost like you're planning a field trip. And so what I love to do is I use Pinterest a lot for finding out what to do and what Instagram photos are fun to take, because, you know, the kids are going to be all over that anyway. And then if I can find, because I like to be outside and in nature, so if I can find a state park or a park ranger or anything that's going to lead us on a tour, absolutely, I do that. And then that dictates you can be here from here to here. Like that's how long it's going to take. And they're going to plan that for you. You just have to get everybody there.
So a big, big question is, how do you pay for the trip? What do you do? Who pays? Like, how much do you budget? How do you fundraise? What are all the things to consider when you're thinking about the money?
Yep. It's a big question. And so right now, maybe last year and probably the next couple of years, travel is really expensive. After COVID, prices went up. They went up on lodging. They went up on plane fare, airfare. They just did. And so you're looking roughly $1,300 a person. You can easily go $1,500 a person, depending on how much you're going to spend on activities. Mm-hmm. Right. And so because your plane tickets, your lodging, your ground travel, those are going to be known quantities. And what you can do to lower or raise the price of the trip is how much you're going to spend on activities. That's the key. And so
have you had any success with being a 501c3, being a nonprofit? Have you been able to get discounts because of that?
Okay. Yep. So good question. The 501c3, we are a 501c3, and I'm so thankful that we are. I would highly recommend, I probably should have led with that. If your group is thinking about going, start working on it, because it's going to take a minute to get that status, and it's going to pay for itself on a trip. And so, unfortunately, airlines don't use it. It does not help with taxes on the airlines. You're going to still pay those. Okay. However, it does help on VRBO and hotel rooms. And that is a huge piece. Like, that'll save the group a lot of money. I think our group this year, it's going to save us $800 just in the taxes for the lodging. Mm-hmm. But that nice. Tells you how much the lodging is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the key. That's probably the biggest key, is the tax savings on the lodging for that. So if you're going to go somewhere as a family or as an individual, you're going to pay kind of the retail price. If you're going to set it up as a field trip or a group trip, you'd be surprised. A lot of those prices will drop to like $5 a person. It's the best way to go. And so, like, I've just been planning yesterday, working on our trip, and I found this super cool, like, alligator place, and it's like $5 a person to go. And if you go as an individual, it's way more than $5. And the $5 is going to pay for somebody who's going to lead you and talk you through it and do a group thing. The group travel is really cool.
That's great to know.
Yeah. And so with the activities, it's up to the planner as to how much time and energy they want to spend planning the activities. I will a lot of times go on Pinterest and put like where I'm going, and you'll find bloggers on there that have done it and their recommendations, and I'll start a spreadsheet because I like those and put those all on there, and I will get a huge list going, and then I'll go to each one of those individual websites and see, is that doable, feasible? Are the kids going to like it or not like it? Is that going to fit our group? And then after I figure that out, then I'm going to email each one of those and see if they'll set up a group. So then I will create a schedule and decide, okay, let's do this on that day.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How much does travel in between sites come into that equation? If you are in a big city, say, are you walking everywhere? Are you driving anywhere? I mean, when you have rented vehicles, do you rent them for the whole time and then plan on driving between places?
Great question. And so it very much depends on where it is you're going. So if you're going to do a big city and you're staying in hotels, you're not going to want to drive in those big cities. And mm-hmm. they're going to have all the subway systems that work so well. And it's your cheapest option to not drive in the big city. Sometimes even just the parking, the vehicle per day can be $50. So you're going to not want to do that. And so then your transportation is the subway versus and or walking, and you're going to do a lot yeah. of both. And I would say probably to know that in a big city, the travel between the sites is going to be as important to your group and take as much time as the actual thing that you're going to. Just the sightseeing and the walking and the talking is a big part.
It's now, a great chance to bond.
Time to bond. And if you're going to go on a mission trip, generally they want you to drive yourself there and keep your vehicles there, because then the sites where you're going to go serve, you're responsible for your time you're getting there. Unless it's international, then they'll do it for you. But if it's local, then you're going to be being responsible to get your group to those serving sites. So you're going to rent that vehicle at the airport and pick it up there and drop it off when you come back to the airport on all the trips I've done.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So Jennifer, you do such a great job of creating balanced activities. You make sure that during each trip that there is a time for rest, a time for play, a time for work and serving, and a time for education. Everyone that we've ever been on, those four things are always part of it.
Aw, thanks, Pam. That's so sweet.
Yeah, that's but you have always been intentional about doing that. And it's the good recipe for creating that lasting connection and stuff.
It is. It is. I do like all of it. And, you know, not everybody is going to love every activity you do, but if you do a variety, they're going to like something you do. I do have to say, I did set up a service project for our education trip in Florida. And I thought, you know, we're there, we got to, you know, I know we're learning a lot, but we're going to serve as well. And I am a fair weather server, I'm not going to lie. So if it's hot and humid, I don't want to go and move mulch or paint something outside. That is not appealing to me at all. And so I've learned that about myself. So if you're going to work and you're going to serve, you have to know that you've got to give them a lot of water, a lot of play time, a lot of, like they're animals, play time, free time, recovery time, so that, because that work is going to, if it drains me, it's draining them faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You would think they would have more stamina than us, but they just don't. They got to learn that on the trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of leads me to a question that, like, how do you handle when there are different personalities, like the introverts versus the extroverts? The extroverts want to get out and do everything, and the introverts need some downtime. Do you just do optional activities for some things, or that's just factored in where everybody gets some downtime, or how do you work that?
Yep. So the poor introverts, they get dragged along through most of the trip. And so usually I do not create downtime in my trips, and I probably should. This trip, I am creating an afternoon of downtime. It's my first one ever. It's very hard for me to put it in there. There's too much to do. Like, why would you do nothing when you can do all these other things? But where the evenings come, and that's where the differences are. So the introverts who need to rest and need to read and take a shower and be by themselves and be in the quiet, they can. And the extroverts that are ready, like, oh my gosh, I've just come alive, my second wave, and here I go. And then they can. And so that's where the super great option is the chaperones come in handy. And in the chaperones, just like the students, you have introverted chaperones or parents and extroverted. And so the extroverted parents are just as excited as the students for going back out. And so the ones that want to go back out, they go back out. And the ones that need 10 hours of sleep can. And so that's really, the evening is really what balances out the introverts and the extroverts.
Yeah, it works out well, because if you're an extroverted parent and you have introverted kids, then you could get the introverted parents, extroverted kids, and then you can go out and everybody's happy. It all works out.
It all works out. And then I've always, with my trips, because it is a trip, it's not a vacation. So a vacation is where you're on your own. I don't want to say it negatively, but selfishly doing what you want to do. Mm-hmm. That's not what a high school education or mission trip is. And so you have to tell them up front what they know they're getting into. And so we're going to be on the road by 8 a.m. sometimes, or we're going to be somewhere by 9:30. Well, you get 30 people somewhere by 9:30 in the morning. You're getting up at 6 or 7 every day.
That's important to know for your chaperones and also for the students, because you don't want chaperones that really dislike what's happening, because it'll really put a drag on everything else. So oftentimes we'll just regroup in the mornings and we'll all have a little pep talk and we'll just kind of talk about expectations and how we're going to behave and, you know, not stating the obvious, like it's sweltering and completely hot and everybody's dying. We're not going to be talking about that stuff. Like we're going to know and look for the good and keep our minds on what's noble and good and right and just and all of that stuff. Just because they need it. We all need it. And we're all going to, friends and fish stink after 3 days and you're staying for seven.
That's right.
you just got to remind each other that you love each other and sure that people are getting their downtime and taking their naps when they need to so that nobody's got their panties in a knot at the wrong time. So Jennifer,
have you ever planned any kind of like group worship time or Bible study or kind of devotional time together as part of the trip?
And so when we went on our mission trip, they did that for us, which was a beautiful thing. And it's one of my takeaways that I'm wanting to add into even the education trips. And so because we are a Christian organization and we are start early, I would like to start even earlier and let everybody have a devotion. And depending on where you're going, but because the evenings seem to be free time, this trip, I would love to, or I am going to plan after lunch, a leader devotion. And because every group has kids in worship, right? And they love to sing or play the guitar. And so they can lead that group into maybe two worship songs after lunch mm-hmm. or dinner, and then have a devo led by a leader and then break out into groups and talk about it, a little discussion. Then it doesn't need to be long, but let's say the whole thing takes an hour, you know, for your two songs, your leader talk and your group divided. And then from there, when that group is done, they can go and do their chores. And so breaking it up into groups is a tricky one, right? And so you want to have a balance of your friends, but girls and boys or ages, oldest to youngest, and kind of keep that mixed up.
And that's where the meetings beforehand, like meeting each month, as it builds the excitement of the place that you can go, but it also gives you an opportunity to connect with people. And it so that when they do break into those groups, then it feels comfortable. It feels really good because you've already connected with them somewhat before we've even gone.
Yep. I would have, so the trip planner can either do it or I would recommend giving this piece over to somebody who's willing to take it. Because I'm not a music person, so I'm going to ask somebody to lead that piece of it, right? And then I don't want to be in charge of leading devotions for 5 days. And I think it's a really big growing for other people to lead the devotion. And so maybe have the high school kids ahead of time know that this is what they're going to do one time to let them do that. And so in as much as dividing out the groups, have a Bible study connecting group of kids and then also a different group. So they're in two different groups, one group for Bible study and one group for their chores.
Gotcha. So they're working with different people.
Different people kind of keeps the clicks from happening because they are going to happen, but it just keeps it a little bit from happening as tightly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It sounds like all the details are orchestrated. You have an amazing mind for all the plans. So I just love everything that you've shared with us.
Yeah. Thank you. Jennifer, okay. So can you summarize like the steps, like just kind of like, here's the first thing you got to do, then do this, then next and next and next. Just like real briefly, just kind of wrap it up and help us to walk through the logistics of how you would plan the trip.
Yep. And unfortunately, I can't go, you're going to do A and then B and then C. Before, I would love to say you're going to decide where to go and then you're going to buy a plane ticket. But that's not the case. You can't do it that way. You can decide where to go, and then you have to research all the activities. Is that worth it? Is that really where we want to go? And if we go there, where's the lodging? What's the lodging going to look like? And how much are the vans going to be? And so you're going to research all of that without without actually doing anything, just all the research. So like this time, we really wanted to go, we're doing the marine biology trip again, right? And so we really want to go back to that teaching aquarium. Well, they've expanded and remodeled and grown, and they have summer camps every single week from Memorial Day to Labor Day, or starting on June 4. And so if we can't, they can't serve us, we can't get in with them and those dates. If I would have said, let's go here and bought tickets, we would have been there and we couldn't even do what we were going for. So before you do anything, you really, so then I'm talking to the aquarium, when can you help us? When can you work with us? And they gave us dates, here's what we can do. And so that actually dictated this trip of, okay, we're going to go here. The other timing piece that really plays in is each group is going to have students that are in sports, whether they're in the, with their, with CHASA, right? One way or the other, you're going to have a soccer player and girls or a baseball player and boys that's going to mess and work with that timing of those end of the year trips. And so you're going to have to work with that timing and with the activities of what is and is not available. And so before I ever go, okay, we're going to go here and I'm going to buy tickets, like you can't do that. So I have to have, I've like, okay, I've committed to you for the aquarium. I committed with the aquarium 2 months before I bought a plane ticket because I needed to have that information down. I nailed down our lodging before I did the plane ticket. So, and so unfortunately there really isn't an easy step one, step two, step three process.
Well, step one would be the gathering of all of the information, sounds like, from what you're saying. Step one is just research. Research all the ins and outs of the places, narrow down, because once you do all of that research, it will help you to narrow down, well, we're not going to Hawaii this time. You know, if the activities are way too expensive or if the transportation is way too expensive, it'll help narrow it down to probably like two or three. Would you say two or three to have your community decide upon? So the first step is the gathering and research of the information. Then would you say the second step would be then to start booking those different activities and making those contacts?
I start booking activities. I always reserve the vans because you can release those if something were to not work out, but get those as soon as you can, because there's not as many 12 and 15 passenger vans to rent in each city as there are other cars, right? And especially for a little while, the last year or two, they've been a super hot commodity. So I would, we reserved the vans before we did anything else. And then pulling the trigger on the lodging and the plane tickets. I like to do the lodging first to make sure it doesn't go away. And then I do the plane tickets because you know you can get there. It's just, you know, how much is that going to cost? So,
yeah. So then once you go on the trip, you've planned it, everybody goes on it and everybody's taking all these pictures. What do you do? Do you create like a photo book or anything like that to preserve your memory? Or do you have like a get together after, or do you do a debrief? What is the after part?
So the after part, and actually great question actually, is the pictures, because kids are going to be on their phones. You can do like, okay, we're not going to have our phones right now or at night or whatever, but they want to take pictures. They're older. They're not in middle school anymore. Some of them are seniors. They're getting ready to launch and they want to take pictures. And so if there's a pretty flower, you don't need 30 people taking a picture of the pretty flower. So somebody's going to be like, I got it. You'll kind of figure out who has the best phone in your group, or the best camera in your group, who likes to do that. And if you know ahead of time and you kind of designate that person to be the picture person, that would be awesome too. My favorite way right now is to set up a Google photo and invite everybody in your group. And I like to do that before you even leave on your group. So the week before, you do that, and then you can start uploading the pictures. I even like uploading some of the pictures of the get-togethers before we ever go.
Yeah, and I know some people in our community have then taken that Google photo book and just created a paper photo book just right off of that, just downloaded it and made it right into a regular photo book. One more thing, what about the photos? What about, how do you handle group photos on trips?
Oh, we've had a lot of fun with group photos on trips because there are, especially if there's something you really want to see, a big monument, and you want a group photo by it, right? And if you've got 20 or 30 people to orchestrate that group photo, that could be a 30-minute process. So what we did was our first group photo, we had a mom who's just brilliant. And she said, okay, everybody find a spot. So we finally, everybody found a spot. And she goes, okay, look to your right and look to your left. And that's who you're going to be by. And that is your spot for every group photo. And so if we're walking down the street and we see something and we go, oh, we got to do a group photo. Well, the organization I'm with is Ascend. And so she said, Ascend, Ascenders assemble. And everybody knew, okay. And I just went, and everybody just goes right where they are. We take the picture, we go on. It's less than 3 minutes. It was a super fun memory. I mean, 3 years later, we're still saying Ascenders assemble.
Yep, we do.
That's great.
Yep.
It's
That was
a huge
a
time
fun.
saver.
And the big group photo, you know, everybody can put it on there, and then you can just pull the ones that you want because you're not going to maybe always be with your student, but somebody grabbed a picture of them, and then you can grab it. It's such a blessing. I love the group photo or the Google Photos.
And then one last question. So at the end, or when you're on the plane coming home, or when do you do, or do you do like a debrief? How things went? Should we do this? Should we change that? What should we do?
Yep. And Pam and I think are very good at this. It's been our trademark is you plan the next trip as you're leaving the other trip because it's all fresh in your mind. We're going to do this, we're not doing that. We're going to do this and we're not doing that. And so a lot of times you debrief as the leader kind of on the way home, like, because there's a lot going by the time, I mean, and your trip planning responsibility is not over until everybody is on the airplane coming home. Because you got to still get them to the airport. You got to get them checked in. You got to get them on that plane. And as soon as they're on that plane, the adrenaline release is real. And so you're just like, whew, we did it.
I can imagine. I can
Yeah,
imagine.
and so then you debrief this last a couple of times we did do a survey for all the parents and students, like a highlight and a low light and a takeaway. I love those three questions. Even though I love the questions and it's fun to see who liked what, if somebody's low light was this, for sure somebody's highlight was that same activity. So
That is
as
true.
many positives were negatives. There wasn't any like, oh, we know to not walk as much as we did the first time.
I liked
People
it.
don't like walking as much as I do.
I thought my feet were broken, but they in reality were not broken. And I thought it was great. I was glad that we walked as much as we did. I came home and I told somebody we walked 800 miles. It was 80 miles, but I guess it felt like 800 miles. But I was better for it because I knew I could walk 80 miles after that. Before, I never knew I could walk 80 miles.
Well, you get to see a whole different aspect of your surroundings when you're walking too, than if you're driving everywhere.
Yeah, and that's also the culture of the places that you live. I mean, the people on the East Coast, they walk like that. They walk 80 miles, you know? So it's just really it anytime you get to travel, it's such a great experience to broaden your horizons and our kids and all of us together, even as a community. And just another amazing way to help us bond. Jennifer,
Thank you so much, Jennifer.
we
Hey,
love you so much.
I'm so glad there are other communities that are going to jump on board with the high school trips. I think it's one of the best things homeschoolers get to do.
I agree. It's definitely been a highlight of my family's years in high school, and I only have a couple more left, and I'm just so grateful for you that you've given us that opportunity to be able to travel and see as many things as we have, because without you, it wouldn't never have happened. So thank you,
Well, I'm
Jennifer,
happy I had the buy-in.
and thank you for sharing it with all of our listeners.
Yes, we really appreciate it.
And I hope
Thanks so
everybody
much.
listening and appreciated it too. And I wish you could be friends with Jennifer the way that we are, because we are so blessed to have you, Jennifer. Thanks again. We'll see you later.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you found this podcast helpful, applicable, or encouraging in any way, the best way to thank us is to share it with someone who might benefit and to write a review. Here's how to do it from Apple Podcasts. Right now, exit the show you're currently in, then select the library icon on the bottom of the screen. Then select Shows. From there, click on the She Leads by Faith podcast thumbnail. Scroll down until you see Ratings and Review, then click on Write a Review, which is just below. Tell us what you think. We would love to hear how it helped.